Blog Talk Radio.
Well, shalom, shalom, and welcome to another Hebraic Journey Through the Bible broadcast. My name, for most of you who know me, is John Wesley, and for the next 30 minutes, I will be one of your co-hosts. I am a Messianic pastor and a rabbi, and our quest is to unravel the Hebraic truths hidden deep within the New Testament scriptures of our faith. Now, most of you know that these Hebraic truths are spiritually designed by the Father to answer the perplexing questions that tend to hinder our relationship with Him and with Yahushua, Jesus the Christ. Now, at this time, I have the distinct pleasure to give you and present to you the other half of this co-host, and that is Evangelist Tanita Jones.
Shalom, and thank you, Rabbi John. I'm so glad to be a co-host of the show as the Messianic Rabbi and to be able to share the truth of the Word of God, Yah. This is our 54th show where we will continue to answer the questions about the articles in the tabernacle, more specifically the items in the Ark of the Covenant. And so I'll hand the show back over to you, Rabbi John, and thanks for the introduction.
You're welcome. Well, Father, right now, in the name of Yeshua, first of all, we ask forgiveness of sin, iniquity, and transgression, and we choose. We make a quality decision, Father God, to forgive those who have sinned against us, caused iniquity and transgression against us, Father. Father, we thank you for your anointing. We thank you for your purpose and your call, your chiastic structure in our lives. And we thank you that it never dies and it's always constant. It's always designed to birth forth each and every day exactly what you've called it to do. So, Father, we get out of the way. We just move ourselves away from any aspect of trying to force or try to produce or to do anything other than what you desire for this particular show. Father, we submit this show to you. We submit this opportunity and give the Holy Spirit the leeway to begin to move through the airways and touch the very hearts and minds and souls of individuals who need it desperately. So we thank you for that, Father, and we glorify you. In Yahushua's name we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I'm going to pass it back to Evangelist Tanita, okay. And she's going to recap what we shared previous so that we can begin to go into some of the closing remarks of this particular question as we deal with areas in the Holy of Holies and the items in the Holy of Holies, and more importantly, how these items relate to you and me, and how we relate within that understanding with our Heavenly Father as well. Amen. And Evangelist Tanita, I'll pass it to you.
Amen. And opening on that note of what Rabbi was stating, how these articles pertain to us, one of the things you told us was to find out what is our manna, and then you begin to talk about Aaron's rod and how the ugly is not the ugly. And so Aaron's rod was the second item that was in the Ark of the Covenant, and all the artifacts were a representation of rebellion or hideous rebellion on Israel's part. This one dealt with this transgression during Passover, Pesach. And Aaron's rod, the challenge was in Numbers chapter 17, 1 through 13. And here we see where the priests were challenging the leadership. The father had to step in for Aaron. Uncleanliness puffed up the other priests, and they got caught up in their gifting, which caused them to challenge the authority of both Moses and Aaron. You gave us two examples, one in the New Testament about Ananias and Sapphira, as well as Aaron's two older sons that were died because of the bad fire. Our calling is sacred, but we have to respect the anointing on those. Like King David, you gave us an example of how King David never touched Saul's anointing. He respected the authority. And so we were reading Numbers chapter 16, verses 1 through 3 and 4 through 7, and this was beginning to tell how the 250 princes, because they were famous, were in leadership, but how they began to challenge Moses and Aaron. They were being exposed. And this is to protect us from becoming like that Korah and this leadership. And so you said this show you would start with the pitfalls, continuing on Aaron Rod. And I'll hand the show back over to you, Rabbi Jim.
Amen. Amen. Very, very well done and very good synopsis of what, where we've gone so far. Again, the ugly that we've been talking about in the Holy of Holies is undoubtedly the most hideous, worst transgression, rebellion, whatever you want to call it, that has happened with the children of Israel pertaining to the Heavenly Father. And yet within all of that, the Father forgave them. The Father covered them. But in covering them, his goal was also to remind them so that they would never forget and never go back to that way or that lifestyle or that conduct towards themselves and more specifically towards him. But it also allowed them to understand the power of the mercy seat and the power of Yah's mercy over them. Of course, within that mercy, there still has to be judgment. There still has to be righteous acts and performed based upon the disobedience and based upon the arrogance and the pride and everything that rose up. And, of course, I'm referring to primarily pertaining to Korah in Numbers chapter 16 that we had read before. And so I want to go back to Numbers chapter 16, verses 1 through 4, so that we can begin to refresh ourselves with how severe this act was and how angry it made our Heavenly Father. Okay, so we're going to go ahead, if you would, Evangelist Sneed, if you'd go ahead and read that verses 1 through 4, and I will share a little bit more about that and just to kind of get us back up to speed pertaining to that. But then shortly thereafter, we're going to go into discussing some things pertaining to the Holy of Holies and more specifically pertaining to chapter 16 and looking at another verse in chapter 16 just so that we can get a real good idea of just how angry and how furious, if you will, our Heavenly Father was. Now, keep in mind, this is the loving God that most Christian believers, you know, talk about. And I know that it's the Old Testament, and I know that most people say, well, that's the God of the Old Testament. We're dealing with the God of the New Testament. We need to understand, and I'm chuckling because of the fact that, you know, if it were not for the grace and if it were not for the covering of Yeshua, none of us would make it through. Because our Father's wrath would be kindled against us, and we would be paying the penalty. But there is coming a time when the mercies will have run out, the grace will have fulfilled its mission, if you will. And then the Father will conduct vengeance again. So please, please, those of you that are listening, keep in mind that it's in imperative that we keep a repentive heart and a repentive mindset for ourselves each and every day. Okay? So, Evangelist Sneed, if you could begin reading that, that would be a blessing.
Yes. Numbers chapter 16, starting at verse 1, and this is the New King James Version. Now, Korah, the son of Izhar, the son of Korhath, the son of Levi, with Dathan and Abiram, I hope I'm pronouncing it right, the son of Eliab, okay, and On, the son of Peleth, the sons of Reuben, took men, and they rose up before Moses with some of the children of Israel, 250 leaders of the congregation, representatives of the congregation, men of renown. They gathered together against Moses and Aaron and said to them, "You take too much upon yourselves, for all the congregation is holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them. Why then do you exalt yourselves above the assembly of the Lord?" So when Moses heard it, he fell on his face. And that's the end of verse 4 of our time.
Okay, go ahead and read verse 5. I'm sorry.
Okay. "And he spoke to Korah and all his company, saying, 'Tomorrow morning the Lord will show who is his and who is holy, and will cause him to come near to him. That one whom he chooses, he will cause to come near to him.'"
Now, what you see here is pretty profound, because it almost gives the illustration that as Moses is still on his face based upon what he heard, I mean, what he heard impacted him so much that he fell down on the ground before the Lord. Not because he was afraid of Korah or the 250 men. That had nothing to do with it. It was because before God, he knew that God was going to destroy, that God was going to send such a massacre and such a destruction based upon the words that were spoken. See, because you got to remember that, and I believe it's Numbers chapter 12. I could be wrong, but I think it was in Numbers chapter 12, was when there was a disagreement between Moses, Miriam, his sister, and Aaron. And it was so severe, as far as the father was concerned, that Moses couldn't get the father to change his mind towards the punishment. I mean, towards punishing. Now, he did change his mind because he was literally looking at something a lot worse than just leprosy on her, for sure. So Moses was able to alter or the severity of the punishment, but the punishment was going to happen. Now, that was with his sister. That was with Miriam and Aaron, and they were just being biased based upon the woman that he married.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this was so much more severe. So much more severe. Because whereas they were concerned more about the choices that he was making for his personal life, this was talking about Moses' spiritual life and his mantle of authority and the way he submitted himself to the Father. This was at the highest tier. You don't get any higher than this. But yet, in this situation, in this circumstance, these men were enticed by demons to impart the error that they themselves were walking in. And they imparted that error to Moses and Aaron. Okay? I'm going to say that again. They were looking through reflective glasses, mirrors, and they saw themselves, and they spoke about the error of themselves before Moses and Aaron, but blamed that error upon Moses and Aaron, because these individuals were the ones that, with the giftings and the call that were on their life, they were the ones that puffed themselves up before Moses and Aaron. They were the ones that brought this in front of the congregation. And one of the errors that is so imperative that we understand, and we might as well kind of jump right in to one of them right now, is that it is so important, it's vital, and fatal in some cases, that when a situation is brought up in front of the congregation, that you have all of your I's dotted and your T's crossed. And the reason for that is because at the height of the anointing and the power of God is also the height and the anointing of the judgment of God. the height and the anointing of the power of God, when you begin to see the very power of God begin to move, and I'm not just talking signs and wonders and miracles and all of those things, and that's great, hallelujah, but I'm talking about when the atmosphere in the congregation is fused with His presence to where it's almost hard to breathe at times because you so sense His presence over everything and anything else. When these moments of visitation are there, that's when it's extraordinarily important that you keep yourself. Keep yourself. That's when you don't do what they did and step out of line. Because at that heightened of anointing, there's no mercy that's going to help you when you touch the ark. Because that's exactly what's happening. By touching the ark, what I mean by that is you're touching the anointing of an individual at the height of the flow and the power of that particular individual. Yeshua walked often at the height of this type of anointing. And at the height of this anointing, He began to protect certain ones who were ignorant of the fact that He was at that heightened anointing. Good example. When Yeshua was ministering and flowing in the Spirit, His mother and brothers, half-brothers, family came to try to console with Him and try to, because, you know, as some of the passages of Scripture say, they say that, you know, they thought he wasn't in his right mind. So even some of his friends would go. But as He's ministering and as He's flowing at the height of this anointing, is when the adversary uses his family, his relatives, to try to hinder, to try to stop, to try to, in some case, impede the flow and the glory that was manifesting before Him and through Him. And He said, without ever stopping the flow. He said, and most of us know that the passage of, and actually the verbiage of the passage is what He said. But He said, "Who's my mother? Who's my, you know, who's my brother?" You know, and then He said, "Look," and He had them look at each other, and He said, "Those that follow, those that yield, those that fulfill, those that do, those that hearken unto the will of my Father, they are my mother, my brother, my sister." Now, for some of us, we would say, wow, you know, that was an awesome saying. But that awesome saying also covered his mother, his brother, from any judgment that would happen to them. Mm-hmm. When you reach the heightened of the anointing, you have to make sure that you are so where you should be, or ask the Father not to allow you to see it. And the reason why I say that is because a part of Moses falling on his face was to make sure that he himself was where he needed to be. Because when that glory comes, that judgment comes as well. And I'm telling you, Moses was very much aware of this. Let's go to Exodus chapter 34.
Okay.
Exodus chapter 34. Because this is Exodus chapter 34 is where one of the first encounters that Moses himself had with this tremendous glory, that within that glory there was judgment. Now, I know that, you know, Moses, you know, had the experience with him in Exodus chapter, you know, 1 through 3 with the burning bush and all of that. And yes, but that wasn't this type of anointing that I'm referring to here. The heightened of the glory of that anointing and the power of the anointing and the judgment of the anointing all manifesting as one was in Exodus chapter 34. Okay, and I'm going to have you start off with verse 5, if you would.
Okay, all right. Okay, Now the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers unto the children and the children's children to the third and fourth generation. So Moses made haste and bowed his head toward the earth and worshipped.
Then and he keep said, going all the way to verse 9.
Okay. Then he said, if now I have found grace in your sight, O Lord, let my Lord, I pray, go among us, even though we are a stiff-necked people, and pardon our iniquity and our sin, and take us as your inheritance. That's the end of our line.
Okay. Now, what I want to know is this. What did Moses not pray for? Moses did not pray for one of those very important situations. Do you see that, Evangelist?
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Okay. What did you, let's dialogue a little bit. What did he not pray for?
The transgressions.
He did not pray for the transgressions. And in the Holy of Holies, those were transgressions. The manna was a transgression. Aaron's rod that budded was a transgression. The tablets of stone. You receive the worst penalty ever, and that was transgression. Now, with that, and understanding that that one little point was not prayed for. Now, he did ask, he being Moses, he did ask the Father to go with him, did he not?
Yes.
And the Father had just told him about sin, iniquity, and transgression, did he not?
Mm-hmm. Yes, he did. Mm-hmm.
And he prayed only for iniquity and sin. Is that correct?
That's correct.
So the iniquity, I mean, not the iniquity, excuse me, but the transgression part that goes down to the third and the fourth generation from the fathers to the sons who hate him has freedom through demonic activity to go down and cause problems, doesn't it?
Yes.
So now we fast forward to Numbers chapter 16 again. And at the heading of most Bibles, it says Korah's rebellion.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't it? Now, Korah's rebellion is classified as transgression. So a part of what was not covered in prayer is now manifesting, and because the Father is with them, the Father has to destroy.
Mm-hmm.
He has no other alternative than to destroy, which is exactly what happened in this aspect. But not just here, because I'm going to have you go and read, you're in Numbers chapter 16, right?
Yes.
Okay. So I want you to go down a little bit further in Numbers chapter 16.
Okay.
And I'm going to try to find it myself because I was just reading it and just kind of going over it in my spirit. And, you know, you've got a situation where verse 12, go ahead and start reading verse 12 all the way to verse 14.
Okay. All right. And Moses sent to call Dathan and Abiram.
Mm-hmm.
The sons of Eliab.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. Eliab.
Mm-hmm.
But they said, "We will not come up. Is it a small thing that you have brought us up out of the land flowing with milk and honey to kill us in the wilderness, that you should keep acting like a prince over us? Moreover, you have not brought us into a land flowing with milk and honey, nor given us of fields and vineyards. Will you put out the eyes of these men? We will not come up."
That lets you know that how rebellious these individuals became. Not only that, go back and read verse 8, and only verse 8, because I want to prove another point as well. Go ahead and read verse 8.
Okay. Then Moses said to Korah, "Hear now, you sons of Levi."
So Korah was a son of Levi. Aaron and Moses were also sons of Levi. This individual was a very, very close relative of theirs. He was family within family.
Mm-hmm.
Not only that, being a Levite, he had special privileges that the rest of the children of Israel did not have.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, with all of those special privileges, he began to look at Moses and Aaron as family within a family and not as an anointed individual, that God has chosen. This disturbed the father so much that I want to jump down to verse 41. And I want you to understand the anger and the resentment and just all that was going on pertaining to Aaron and Moses having to deal with this cantankerous and just hideous and chaotic individuals. But now keep in mind, this is the reason why it is so imperative, and I'm not blaming Moses, but it's imperative that when the Father points out those points, that we pray those points. If you wonder, well, why does Rabbi John pray those points all the time? Why? This is a very good reason why I pray those points all the time. This is a very good reason why I try my very best to make sure that I cover sin, iniquity, and transgression, because what I do not cover, Satan will advance and take advantage of. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Verse 41. Go ahead and read.
Verse 41. On the next day, all the congregation of the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron, saying, "You have killed the people of the Lord." Now it happened, when the congregation had gathered against Moses and Aaron, that they turned towards the tabernacle of meeting, and suddenly the cloud covered it, and the glory of the Lord appeared. Then Moses and Aaron came before the tabernacle of meeting, and the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Get away from among this congregation, that I may consume them in a moment." And they fell on their faces. So Moses said to Aaron, "Take a censer and put fire in it from the altar. Put incense on it and take it quickly to the congregation and make atonement for them. For wrath has gone out from the Lord. The plague has begun. Then
okay,
Aaron took
there.
It.
Go ahead. Mm-hmm. Yeah, go ahead and stop there. All right. We are going to really go into this in the next broadcast. So I'm going to let Evangelist Tanita let you know how you can get in touch with us, and we will put a capstone on the next broadcast on how severe and how serious this made the Father, and how with not praying against transgression allowed him to give the ultimate penalty of vengeance against those who walked in rebellion. Evangelist Tanita, go ahead.
And so the show is held weekly on Thursdays at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. If you have questions, you can email us at office@bethhashem.org. The ministry name, again, is Beth Hashem Ministries. Our website is www.bethhashem.org. And then we have a Facebook page, which is www.facebook.com/bethhashemministries. If you would like to attend our services, you can email us at bethhashem@yahoo.com for directions. We also have Zuhl College. For those that may like a more in-depth study of a Hebraic understanding as a New Testament believer, if you would email us for Zuhl College at office@bethhashem.org. That is OFFICE at BETHHASHEM.org. Thank you for attending the show, and I'll hand it back over to you, Rabbi.
Well, Father, right now, in the name of Yeshua, we thank you for the opportunity to understand how significant and how important it is for us to include all of the ingredients of your mercy and your grace, to understand the imperative importance of the ugly and the ugly that we've done in our own life, and how we must cover the sin, the iniquity, and transgression before you. Otherwise, the penalty for that will come upon us and upon our children and upon our children's children. So, Father, we thank you for teaching us and for instructing us so that we can receive all the benefits of grace and mercy and obedience. In Yahushua's name. Until next time, shalom, shalom.